beautiful day it turned out to be, man. I was all scared it was going to rain and be cruddy out, but it looks beautiful. Don't talk about it outside, though. The weather may hear you. Does anybody enjoy watching lightning storms? Are you one of those people that, you know, like your mom's always like, get inside. And you're like, look, Paul. You know, it's probably not a good idea to go off the porch and play with umbrellas outside while it's lightning. But, you know, a lot of people enjoy storms, and I like watching them. I always enjoy like seeing pictures of the aftermath or just pictures of the storm themselves. I got a couple just to show you today that are pretty cool. Like this one, probably the last place you'd want to be is in that barn. But it's cool from where you are, you know. That's neat. And then there's another one, like, you know, down the road. Aren't you glad you're not there? You know, and then there's another one that looks like Iowa. So I lived in Iowa for about 5 years, and they have tornado sirens, and they test them every week. But when a tornado comes and it's in the area, they'll set them off, man, and it is loud. But the thing is Danica grew up in a lot of her life in Iowa, and so we moved here, and we have sirens too. You know what I'm talking about? Those out. But what are those? Fire, right? So she hears one go off. Where is it? You know, where's the tornado? You know, she's like, really? Is this, it's sunny out. You know, what's going on? But, you know, it's different for her. But, you know, I also remember a time when I lived in Iowa that, I was interning at the church, and I took the youth group out to, it's called Adventureland, which is kind of like a Darien Lake amusement park. And we were there, and it was a beautiful day, man. It started off, it was hot, it was beautiful, cracked the windows in the car, and you know, we got there, and we went to McDonald's to eat. It was just across the road, and it was one of those, you know, like Wendy's on Fairmount has those glass things that come over, and you can sit under the glass. Well, it was one of those deals, and all of a sudden, it got dark real fast, you know, and it started to hail, and it started to blow, and I remember looking, and I'm with a bunch of youth kids, and I'm looking out the window, and I can see the drive-through, and cars just parked there, and I can see this car doing one of these, and I'm like, oh, this ain't good, you know, and the glass is just flexing in and out, and I thought we were going to die, but I didn't tell the kids that. There's, like, no basement. They're like, what are we going to do, you know, the employees? I'm like, guys, you live in Iowa, man. You should have designed this with a basement, but they didn't, and it blew over, and you go outside, and the McDonald's sign was wrecked. I mean, it was, the tornado was that close to us, and the Midwest is just a beautiful place for storms. But I think that, you know, we enjoy seeing those, at least I do, because there's a mystery about them. You know, they are powerful. They are beyond us. They can interrupt our lives. You know, they can veto whatever plans we have for the future. They are bigger. Storms and natural disasters have a way of reminding us, man, that we're not in control. Don't they? I mean, a storm will come and you have no control over it. In the same sense, and almost to a point that's disturbing, there are storms in our lives that happen that we have no control over. You know, we have nothing, we can do nothing about them. And though it's not nature, it's situations, it's circumstances, they can wreak havoc on our lives. And the thing is, we don't want to take pictures, we don't want to film it, but we do end up going through it and being changed by it. Today, we're continuing the series on family matters, and we're continuing to look at a family that's in the Bible, and we can learn a lot from them. We're continuing to look at Jacob's family, which Roy laid down the history of that last week and showed us that this dysfunction that they face is actually generational, and it started way back when, and in each generation, you can see this dysfunction happen, and today we're focusing on Joseph and his life. And Joseph is one of the more popular characters in the Bible. And I think it's because we can relate to it. We can understand him a little bit because maybe you can identify with the fact that, there is dysfunction in his family. Maybe you can identify with the fact of that sibling rivalry. Or maybe you can just relate to the hardships and the perseverance that Joseph went through. But maybe you can relate to the fact that, God showed his faithfulness to Joseph. You know, this morning we're going to be looking at Joseph's life because he shows us something that we can all learn from. And he shows us this. He shows us that we cannot control the storm, but we can control our spirit. Last week, like I said, Roy talked to us about the history and that dysfunction. And he mentioned that Jacob's favor towards Joseph was huge. It was obvious. He bought him this coat. He favored him among his brothers. And Joseph did himself no favors by sharing these dreams with his brothers about hay bales bowing down to him, or stars and planets bowing down to him. And their brothers, this just fanned the flames of their hatred, and they actually end up labeling him as a dreamer, not even as a person. They kind of put him in a different category, because that's what we do when we hate somebody. We don't see them as a person. We see them as something else. And so he was a dreamer to them, and they wanted to kill him. And they get to the point where they are going to kill him. And one of his brothers is like, hey, you know, we can get rid of him and make some money. That's even better, you know. We don't have to do it. So they sold him into slavery to the Midians. And as we look at Genesis chapter 39, that's where we pick up today, 39 and 40, we see what happened to Joseph after his brothers sold him to the Midians. And they sold him when he was probably around 17 years old, just to give you a time frame. But could you imagine, after being sold into slavery, what Joseph was feeling? I mean, he had it made at his house. And yeah, he didn't get along with his brothers, but he still was in a good place as far as his father was concerned and his inheritance. He probably had plans of the future, what to do. But I mean, think about this. Joseph probably didn't see it coming, see the storm coming. But his brothers built up so much hatred that it just exploded. What Joseph doesn't know at this point was how long he was going to be working at Potiphar's house, how he was going to be treated, what his future looked like. What he did know was that his brothers acted on their hatred. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to have everything you've ever known and loved be pulled away from you. And he also knows that he can't control the storm. See, something happened to Joseph that was very important. And then it's something that we face too, just like him. When a storm comes in our life, we have a choice. We have this crossroads that we face. When we face a storm, we have a decision to make, just like Joseph did. You know, he could have resigned, Joseph, just resigned his feelings, just been like, I've been betrayed, I'm not worth anything. He could have just gone into a depression, to some weird funk, not caring about anybody, just forgetting it all. He could have been embittered. He could have been nasty to people, been overcome by discouragement. But what we see in Joseph is something that we can learn from, that we can embrace when we face those hard times. Joseph took hold of the one thing that he could control, and that was his character, his spirit, his integrity. He took hold of that. His choices that he made during those times, how he treated people, how he saw things, those were all important. And those all spoke well of him. You know, he could have made some really poor choices. He could have been, like I said, felt hopeless, frustrated, in despair, but he sets an example for us. We can't control what happens in life, but we can control our spirit. And in Genesis 39, 2 through 6, we read this passage that's awesome. Because after he sold to the Midians, and after the Midians sold him to Potiphar, we see something important. And it's just in the first few words of this passage. The Lord was with Joseph. That's important because we all face storms. We all will face hard times. Maybe some of you are going through them right now. Maybe some of you just don't even know. It feels like you're in a tornado. Things are going around you that it's just more than one. But know And be encouraged by this this morning. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So why is that awesome? You know, because for several reasons. You know, one being that we can see first that God never left him or forsook him. He never just abandoned him. When times get tough, God does not leave us. When we're going through a storm, God's not like, oh, well, you're on your own. Secondly, it shows us the mindset that we can have during these storms and situations, you know, that we can't control. We have to have this mindset that no matter what situation we're in, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we are God's ambassadors, and people are watching us, making assessments based on God and our behavior and in those situations. And also, God uses us, even in difficult situations, to bless others. You know, you look at that passage, you can see that his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's a witness that God was with him. And that he succeeded in whatever he put his hand to. And then I like this part in this passage, too, that says that for Joseph's sake, you know, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Not that the Egyptian, not that Potiphar was righteous before God, not that he was doing everything right and God blessed his house, no, but because of who was in his house, Joseph, that the Lord poured his blessing out on the whole house. That's a testimony. You know, there may be times when you feel like God has left you and he's forgotten you. You might be going through something that's very difficult, and I can remember times in my life when I just felt like that. I can remember times of just honest prayer before God, asking him to remember me, to remember my family. You know, maybe you felt that way too. You thought that God has just pushed you aside and you're just out of his sight. But if maybe you've even said things like, if God loves me, then why am I going through this? Or if you love me, why are you doing this to me? Does God even care about me? Those are all honest, open questions before God that probably you've said, I've said. I've known people to walk away from their relationship with God because they thought the situation that they were going through meant that God just didn't care about them anymore, that he had forgot them. But one thing we often forget is that in this world, and nothing is perfect. It's easy to see. You know, we see that we're not in heaven. We're on earth. Things are broken. Diseases happen. Loss happens. Injustice happens. But through all of that, you know, John 16:33 affirms that, you know, in this world you are going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And you see, the reality of life is we can't control it. The reality is things are going to happen that are very frustrating because we have no control. We can't stop it. We know the tribulations are going to come. But here's the thing. God has promised us. And Deuteronomy 31:6 is where we see it, but it's all throughout the Bible, different passages. Remind us, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God will never leave us no matter how dark our situation is. Like I said, when you hit a hard time, when you hit a storm, he doesn't take off. He stays with you. And in Romans 8:38-39, we can be assured. He says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, no storm, no situation, nothing that we're going to face is going to separate us from God's love. Isn't that assuring? You know, when we hit those hard times, and maybe, like I said, some of you guys have come in this morning and you are carrying that, and you have this storm around you, I want you to be assured that, you know what? God loves you. He has not left you, nor will He leave you. There's something that makes Joseph's story so powerful. It's life. And though we may not be sold into slavery, we know what betrayal feels like. And though we may not have been forced away from our family, we know what broken dreams feel like. Joseph couldn't control the storms that were brought to him, but he realized that he needed to honor the one who loved him and was with him in every situation and in every storm. And this is the turn, man. So Joseph chose to honor God with his choices. You see, because no matter what, we're going to face stuff. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, you even hate to bring it up. You just think about it and you're like, ugh. You know, but it's true. There's things that are going to come in life that we will hate, we will despise, we will face. But God will never leave us and He never will forsake us. And we need to keep in mind during those times that we need to honor God in every situation, as hard as it is. God loved Joseph and took care of him, even in the dark times. Joseph acknowledged God, and God blessed Joseph. And what's remarkable to me, like I said, is this account that says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. God didn't bless Potiphar. He blessed Joseph. And we read on and see for a time, things started to settle down for Joseph. He was getting in his groove there at Potiphar's house. Even though it was a bad situation, even though he was a slave, he was a servant, everything he did, the Lord blessed. Because he honored God. And we know Joseph was a good-looking guy. You know, Genesis 39:6 says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. You know, he's a young guy, probably tan. He's Hebrew. He's got the pectorals going on. He's got the six-pack abs. You know, just being a stud. He can't help it. But here's the problem. Potiphar's wife noticed his studliness. We all know that Potiphar's wife propositioned a man like several times. And Joseph was uncomfortable around her. And he replied to her. And this is the other storm coming his way. I love his reply. He says, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in this house. And he's put everything in he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything back from me except you. This is him talking to Potiphar's wife. Because you are his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I love his heart because notice what he doesn't say. He says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? He doesn't say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? You can see his mindset is to honor God in every area of his life. Even though it would be wrong against Potiphar, Joseph was led by his respect and love for God, not by his respect and love for Potiphar. Joseph made choices that kept his character and his integrity intact. But even more important, he made choices that honored God. Man, if I could do that. God was what Joseph was concerned about. It wasn't about him. And if we could get into Joseph's head, it's like he's just given it all to God. Isn't that what we're called to do anyways? He's just laid his life down and said, God, you know, in everything I do, I want to honor you. We see again that Joseph can't control life, man, because we see another storm approaching. We see Potiphar's wife just losing complete control of her desire for Joseph. And one day, she just loses it, man. He's just too hot, you know, and she grabs him and wants to have sex with him. But he runs, man. He bolts out of there, and the only thing she's left holding is his outer coat. And so, realizing what's just happened, She's humiliated. She's probably fearful of what Joseph's going to have to say to Potiphar about it. So she starts yelling. And she says this, when the guards come in, she says, "See, he," talking about Potiphar, "has brought us a Hebrew to laugh at us." See, in Egypt, the Hebrews were looked down on. They were lesser than. And you can almost hear that racism, that prejudice in her voice. That he has brought us a Hebrew to laugh at us. "He came in to lie with me. And I cried out in a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." She goes on and she tells her husband the same story. And then obviously Potiphar is ticked off and throws him in prison. Doesn't kill him, which is almost a surprise, but throws him in prison, in the king's prison. Again, another blow to Joseph. Man, he found favor at Potiphar's house. He did everything right. How many of you feel that way when a storm hits you? Man, what have I done to deserve this? You know, we cry out to God, "Why? What have I done? Don't you love me? Don't you care about me? Why?" You know, I do all the right things and then this happens. Has that ever crossed your mind before? Maybe you can relate to Joseph. Joseph comes face to face with this reality that man, it's out of our control. But what's cool is that he just embraces the fact that he's going to control what he can control. That's how he responds. That's how he treats other people. That's how he makes his decisions. It's all about character, integrity, his spirit. And I love the verse in verses 21 and 23 because this is a totally different passage. Same chapter, but different passage, different event in his life. And it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Again, he's with him and showed him his steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. We see Deuteronomy 31:6. We see Romans 8:38. You know, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread for them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." And Romans 8:38 again says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, we go through things. We are in things. Storms will come. I think that there's this bunk thought that we have, because I am a Christian, because I follow the Lord, then nothing bad will happen to me. That's just some bad theology right there. That's some bad doctrine. That's some bad teaching. It's not true. It rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes we think, well, man, it's because of what I've done is why I'm like this. Or look at that person, they're going through this because of what they've done. Jesus addressed that while he was on earth too. Kind of killed that thought. Because back then, that's what a lot of them thought. You have leprosy, man, you did something wrong. Oh, you have a sickness, or you must have done something wrong. No. It rains on all of us. And for us to point to somebody and say it's because of this or because of that, it's just arrogance and it's stupidity. But the reality is, he is with us in those dark times. When those storms hit, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We can't control the storm, but we can control the spirit. And why turn our spirit against somebody who loves us and who's there going with us? Joseph's life has so many lessons for us to draw from, and this is just one of them. But I'm thankful for people like Joseph who show us that even in the hardest of times, you know, we can hold on to our integrity. We can hold on to our character. We can hold on to God. Even though we are out of control in so many different things. We can control those things. First and foremost, our relationship with God. Joseph built a reputation for himself no matter where he went. As a slave serving in Potiphar's house, he put him in charge of everything. In prison! How many times do you see that happening? So a guard being, hey, Joseph, you know, have your way. You know, I'm not going to worry about anything you do because it's all good. You know, that just doesn't, but that's the reputation, that's the character, that's the integrity that he had. And as you read on, you can see that actually Joseph really did care about the people in the prison. It's kind of interesting because he gets a couple visitors, the baker and the cupbearer come down, and he's serving the prisoners, and he says, why are you downcast? And then they had a dream that was disturbing. But notice that just that little snippet that he does, he cares. We can't control the storms, but we can control our response. We can control our decisions. We can control how we treat one another. We can control our relationship with God. What makes this so important and why we even talk about it is because when storms in our life come, what's our first response, man? You know, a lot of times you just want to throw in the towel. You get discouraged. You're like, this is lame. You know, I do all the right things, and this is what happens. Why am I going through this now? This is ridiculous. It's always something. We get frustrated. And frustration, I think, is a natural part of it. But when we overstep is when we start living it on our own and say, you know what? This God stuff is ridiculous. Or you just pull back and we just want to, you know, well, when this is over, then I'll get my relationship right with God. Or I just need to face this on my own. And it's important that we as followers honor God in those times of storm. How does this start, though? How can we begin to honor God in every area of our life? That's a huge thing, isn't it? To honor God in every area. But that's what we're called to do. We can begin by praying and ask God, help me. Holy Spirit, just remind me, nudge me, prick me when I have a decision to make. Help me to make the right choice that's going to honor you. Because, man, Joseph's mindset is just awesome. I mean, because it's not about him. He doesn't pull, you don't read in there where he's like, woe is me. What he does is he pulls this out and he says, you know, God, I just want to honor you. In whatever situation I'm in, I want to honor you. And I just pray that I can have that mindset as well. But we can start by praying to God and saying, Lord, help me to be wise in my decision. Help me to honor you with my choices. But we can also start by intentionally including God in our decision-making process. When we have choices to make, finances, life, whatever comes up, big decisions. Should I do this? Should I switch jobs? Should I move? Should I do? Including God in your decision-making process. Starting with the smaller things in life, you know, makes it easier to apply to the bigger things in life. But always asking, what is going to honor you, God? What decision, what choice do I make that's going to bring you glory? How are people going to see you through this decision? We must realize that no matter what happens, we might not be able to control our circumstances, but we can control our character. We can control our integrity. We can control our spirit. We can stay in that relationship with God and honor him. You know, this morning I just want to close, and you know, storms of life are something that everybody faces. It's something that you can talk about, that you can, you know, we face them. We deal with them. And people really see our character, our relationship with God. It's like when the rubber beats the road, you know. I mean, it's right there. Is their faith real? Is their God real? That's what people are asking as they watch you walk through whatever you're walking through. And as unpleasant as it is, are we honoring God by the way we act, by the way we treat others, by what we do in those difficult times? You know, Joseph just set an awesome example for us, and it's huge. But I pray that I would be able to meet that. That you guys would be able to meet that. And it's definitely a challenge for us today. But let's pray. Lord, today I just want to thank you for how good you are to us. How faithful you are. Lord, and I just ask that you would continue to work in our lives. Lord, as we face things and things we don't even see coming right now, and as fast as storms approach, Lord, we know the storms of life come in too. And Lord, I just ask your favor. I ask your wisdom, Lord, and how we as children of God respond to you, how we respond to other people. Help our storms become a testimony for others to hear, for others to be encouraged, for others to draw near to you. Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives and your faithfulness. In your name, amen.
Let's stand together and sing this.